Thank you for tuning in to the Hear Hear podcast. We had a few minor technical difficulties during this episode, but the discussion with Bob and Owen was too good not to release. Thank you for understanding. Now, enjoy the episode.
This is the Hear Hear podcast. Tonight we are joined by Bob McLinn, owner-operator, and Owen Hartman, the head brewer from Wyndham's Mountain King Brewery. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, congratulations, first off. It feels good to have a brewery in town again. It's been probably, we were just talking about it before you guys got here, probably 8 years.
Yeah.
6, 8 years before there
was anything. I've been here now 5 years. And the first thing I said when I came here is like, this fucking town needs a brewery. You know, it's a mountain town. Obviously fell in love with the place. We're up here and... Well, I said two things. I said this, you know, this town needs a brewery and it needs a music festival. And my day job is the music business. So I met with Chip from the Mountain and I said, you know, how do we get these things going? We've been trying to do a music festival here for years and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, well, I'll help out with that. And at the same time, I was talking to people like, hey, let's get a brewery. And a couple of people were interested. And because I didn't want to do it all on my own because I'm kind of back and forth from the city. And then, so anyway, back to the festival thing. So the whole Cave Mountain Music Festival, that was something that I had put together. I brought a promoter up here and did it with the Mountain. And then and we kind of put that together and announced it, and everyone seemed very happy. We had like Weezer and J-Rad and, you know, Dinosaur Jr. and so many cool acts coming up for that thing. And then the Mountain was sold. And then what really happened was they had a lot of construction going on. So we had sold a bunch of VIP tickets at the club. And then that had to be renovated, so that they could move. And then where the stage was, that had to be moved. And there's just a lot of things that, you know, where we had sold tickets for, you know, had to, you know, change because, you know, the guy who bought the Mountain, you know, again, not his fault, whatever. Yeah, he wasn't there when, he brought it in and he had a different vision. And he didn't really see a vision for, you know, the future of it necessarily because a lot of things are changing. So you know, ended up not working out, unfortunately. But I did bring a music festival here. At least I brought, you know.
Oh, we're gonna come back to this. We want to see one. This is a conversation we have all the time. We want to see.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I made it a reality, and it just, you know, unfortunately, from announced to it happening, you know, things were sold and things changed, and it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, but, that one needs to come back. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. No, it would have been cool. It would have been cool. So. Yeah.
Let's go all the way back. So. All right. Give us your backstory. What brought you to Wyndham in the first place?
I skied here a bit as a kid.
So you're New York City based?
No, while I was a kid, I was Jersey.
Okay.
But I'd come up here once in a while and ski as a kid. And then I didn't ski. I was in bands. I toured. I put out records. I kind of went and toured the world and that whole thing. And I had no health insurance at the time, right? Because, you know, you're a tour musician, you can't afford it. And you come off your parents' insurance, you know, when you're, you know, you graduate high school or whatever. And so I was like, I can't ski because I need to go try to rock and roll and make a living here. And you know, you're playing with fire without having health insurance out there as it is.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't ski for about 20 years. And then, you know, I things changed after I went and played. I started managing about, you know, a little over 20 years ago. And built a company called Crush Music, and we managed a bunch of different acts, you know, from Green Day and Fall Out Boy and Sia, Lord, et cetera, a bunch of different stuff. And, you know, crushmusic.com has kind of the whole, you know, layout of what goes on there. But, you know, got married, had kids, got the, you know, the wife had never skied. The kids, obviously, had never skied because they were just born. Got them skiing. You know, I think the youngest one was about 5 when I got them skiing. And, started going up, you know, Vermont some weekends. Then, you know, I went to Hunter one weekend, and it's like, man, this is only 2.5 hours from the city, and I should look at Wyndham because, you know, I always felt like, you know, if I was going to buy a house, like, you know, Wyndham had that kind of thing with the ski programs and all, and it's like, this is cool. I love this whole. I've always loved this area, but I hadn't been to Wyndham in over 20 years, and so we came back and we found a house, we bought it, fell in love with the area immediately. You know, my wife's from Buffalo. So she loves everything New York. You know, she went to school at St. Lawrence University and the city. And, you know, she loves everything New York. And she just really fell in love with this area, too. And the kids love it. And they've been on the ski team since we've been up here for 5 years. And So that's pretty much how, you know, we came back, we, you know, found this house, and now it's just like, you know, it was like, all right, we'll come here in winters. Now we just love it in the summer. We love it the fall. We love it all year round.
Yeah.
And
very family friendly, very family oriented and just outdoor oriented.
Yeah. And it's just a beautiful place. Yep. And so we're here and, you know, so back to the other part. So the music festival, you heard that story. Then the brewery thing, I was talking to some people who had some land and they wanted a partner for certain reasons. It never worked out. And, you know, so I found that house down in the middle where we're doing the brewery now, where we built it. It was an Airbnb. Before that, it was Zrega's Pizza. So people who've been around here, like, right, Evan and Jesse, you guys know what's going on with Zrega's Pizza.
Yeah.
It was an Airbnb. My whole thing is, you know, so I love this area, and I put my money where my mouth is, right? I say I'm going to do a music festival, I'm going to go do it. If I say I'm going to do a brewery, we're going to do it. And so we did it down there, and, you know, I really see a vision for this downtown of Wyndham of just, you know, growing more retail, right? Because, you know, you got these lawyers' offices, there's a bunch of real estate offices. It's funny, I met, Wynn Morrison, you guys know, big realtor in the area. He came in the brewery, you know, a couple weeks after we opened, and you know, nice guy, and we're talking, he's like, you know, you bought this building one day before I did. And I said, well, what are you going to do with this? So I said, make a real estate office. He's like,
another one.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, you know, and he's like, oh, I'm glad I didn't too, you know, which is cool, because he gets it, and the town needs more of this. We need, you know, and some people who don't get it, they confuse a brewery for a bar or a restaurant, you know. We're not a restaurant, you know, we're a complimentary business, and I've told that to all the restaurants in town. A lot of them are serving the beer, which, you know, we're very thankful for. You know, we have some, like, the big German pretzels and, you know, like some cool snacks, whatever else, but we're not a restaurant. People come in, they have some beers, and then they go down to Chicken Run. They'll go to, you know, to Lily's, to Wilder, you know, wherever it is, right? Yep. You know, Prominence, you know, they go to the restaurants ever have some beers because, you know, they'll have some snacks. We will bring people to town if we continue to be successful, you know. And this guy over here who we'll talk in a minute, Owen, he makes some fucking fantastic beer, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, so, I'm looking up the origin story of your love for beer for both of you. Evan and I were just in Munich in August for a couple of days. And hung out Hofbrauhaus and bopped around Munich and saw all the sights to see. And that was where you guys fell in love with beer. So what brought you to Germany? That was part of the music scene, part of the touring.
Well, I'll give you my part, then I'll let Owen talk. You know, I was in bands. I toured. I graduated college, Rutgers College, Rutgers University in Jersey. And I, you know, had my first record deal my senior year. I recorded that year, and as soon as I graduated, went to tour Europe for 7 weeks, and that's where I was. You know, at the time, I'm at Rutgers. You know, I'm crashing like 20 fucking Bud Lights on my head a night. You know, doing what you're doing keg stands, and that's what you thought. You know, that's what beer was. And I went to Europe, and you know, I'm playing 7 weeks in Europe, and you know, 14 cities in Germany alone, and each city had its own brewery. Like, and every day you had different beer backstage. And they didn't need to refrigerate it. They don't, you know.
Yep.
They're refrigerating more these days than it was back then. This is 1994 I'm talking about. But yeah, the whole warm beer thing was a very real thing. But it was just, you know, at first you're like, oh, this is different. And then after a couple of weeks, you're like, you just get used to it and you're trying the different beers. And like, wow, you know, this beer is different from the one I was in the city last night. And it's just, they take such pride in their beer, you know, each town, each city. And there'll be multiple breweries, I said, but each city kind of had their main brewery.
Yeah.
And it just, I came back there for 7 weeks, and it was a completely different, you know, mentality on beer.
Appreciation,
the whole thing. And then I started seeking out the craft beers in America and, you know, more imported beers, et cetera. So that's kind of where I really, you know, fell in love with it and really started, you know, open up my mind to beer. And, you know, Owen, similar, but, you know, different. You can tell your story.
Yeah. I'm from Vermont, so I went to school at Castleton, and kind of similar, you know. You buy the cheap 30 rack, you know.
That's right.
Keystone Lights.
That's right.
Keystone Lights.
You know, and then when I got out, I, you know, Vermont has fantastic IPAs, and that's kind of, when I got out, it was 2014, so Hetty Topper was exploding, you know. Hill Farmstead was kind of starting to creep up, and Lawson's was around there. So we were having fantastic beer there. And then I got a job coaching lacrosse in northern Germany, about an hour north of Hamburg, so a town called Kiel. And it was kind of similar. Like, you know, we have fantastic IPAs and different beers here in Vermont and in the U.S., and then you go to Germany, and all of a sudden you have Pilsners, you have Helles, and you have Hefeweizen, and yep. just it's a completely different beer scene, at least the traditional beer scene. And so all of a sudden, you know, instead of me drinking double hazies, I'm drinking just the
Weiss beer.
Just the, yeah, yeah, just some Weiss beer, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I had so much free time in my hands because I was, you know, just coaching. That was it. It was hard enough for me to get that visa, so I started homebrewing. And
you started while you were in Germany?
Yeah, I started nice. Homebrewing in Germany. So, you know, the first batch was absolute shit show. I bought some, like, 80-euro homebrew kit, and I had a German girlfriend at the time, and the book came in, the instruction manual came with, like a 200-page book. All in German.
Yeah.
And, you know, my German at that time is I could tell the refs some very naughty things about their family. But that was a bit like reading. I was like, that's not happening.
Not a chance.
And she was translating to me. She's like, I don't know what any of this means. Like, I don't know anything this means. So that first batch, I put everything in the pot. And I was just like, I don't think this is how it goes. And then, yeah, that did not work out.
Well, at least you had something to blame it on. You could say, I couldn't read the language.
Yeah, I can't read. I can't read
the language.
So I turned around and... I bumped into some like a brewer at a craft beer there's a craft beer fest over there, and you know, chit chatted, and you know, he hooked me up with some details, and then, you know, YouTube's a wonderful thing.
Yes, sir.
Hopped in there and, you know, educated myself a little bit, and I think the first beer I had was a Dunkelweiss. Love at first smell, like the smell when you got the grain in the hot water, it's just intoxicating.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just incredible. It You know, for like a novice, I'd say, yeah, it's oatmeal. You just walk it. But like there's so much other smells because you can have roasted grain coming out of there. You just smell it. It's just fantastic. That's what I like, the porter. I love brewing the porter just because you walk in there, you're just smelling that dark grain going in there. It's perfect. But then I was over there for 3 years. I kind of knew right away that's what I wanted to do after about three batches. And I applied to German brew school. And because I was just a random American living over there, I wasn't a German citizen, a European citizen, a refugee, or a student. I was the first application out the door.
Yep.
Not to mention my German was shit.
Yeah, I was gonna ask that. Did it get any better after 3 years?
It did, and I've lost all of it. I can still go over there, and you know, I still have my words because those are the first things my kids taught me over there. I was coaching. They're just like, they taught me all the bad words. Yep. So you know. Those are the easiest words to learn right, with any foreign language. But no, so the program over in Germany is like 3 years, and they give you everything from English lessons to, you know, writing lessons. And then when you're not at school, you're working for the brewery. So, but that didn't work out. And then I went and found a program in Vermont called the American Brewers Guild. It's in a small brewery called Drop-In in Middlebury, Vermont. It's a fantastic program. It's 6 months. It's remote. They send you 45 lectures. They're all like 3 hours long. You take your notes. You do your assignments. You write essays. And then it's fantastic. Steve Parks is the head of that program. And it's been around for 20, 25 years, something like that. Started out in San Bernardino, I think. Or no, somewhere out in Cali. But it's a fantastic program. And then, you know, kind of popped into it professionally after that, which was awesome. That's 2020, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and then you went to Fiddlehead for a little bit, right?
Yeah, so the first spot I started at was Lake Placid, Great Adirondack, which unfortunately just closed. Great spot, great family. Kind of bummed those guys closed, but met great people there. They kind of have a weird depth of talent that's come from that brewery. And then after that, I went to Fiddlehead. Worked in Fiddlehead for about 6 months, and then got an opportunity from someone I met while I was at Great Adirondack to be a head brewer. And you know, I thought I, you know, counter offered with something they weren't going to pay me, and they did. And I was like, shit, okay, I'll hop. Just because the amount of knowledge and the people at Fiddlehead, like, it's incredible how much knowledge those people have. And especially as someone who's relatively, I mean, in terms of the industry, pretty young. So I was kind of scared to do that, but I couldn't miss the opportunity. And then I was there for about a year and a half. And then I jumped to another spot up in the Northeast Kingdom called Dirt Church. Was there for about 8 months or so. And then I linked up with Bob at some point after that.
I was going to ask, how did you find a dude wandering the woods in Vermont and wrestle him down into upstate New York?
Starting a brewery, I mean, starting any business is so hard.
Well, so, and looking for a talent like that, right?
So I attempted home brewing. So I'm like, I'm a vision, like I like brands. I love beer. I know how to taste beer. I know how to like design a beer from like, you know, from where I'm sitting. As far as making beer, I tried home brewing once, maybe twice. It's like I left it in the closet too long, and I'm like, I get so fucking pissed. I'm like, so I can't technically make the, not that I can't, but I've never really been that, you know, home brewer and made it. So it's about finding someone who you really align with on the taste and the vision. And you know, I looked around here and I couldn't find anyone around New York. It's just, it's hard, right? Because you know, it's not like there's just great brewers hanging around out of a job.
Yep.
And so we kind of widened the search a little bit and found Owen up in Northeast Vermont at this little brewery called Dirt Church, like you said. And just, you know, we talked on the phone a bunch. We met a few times down here. He came down to Wyndham, checked it out, and just felt right, and we did it. And man, the guy can make beer, so we did well with finding Owen. And you know, you've been here now since what, like April? You moved here last year?
May, something close to. I can't remember.
He's becoming a local quick.
Yeah. That's what happens when you provide beer.
Yeah,
you get a lot of love for that.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, you're no stranger to building a brand up. I mean, from the music industry and your other breweries.
Yeah.
I mean, I've started quite a rapport with those. So.
Yeah, I have a brewery, Asbury Park Brewery in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Yep, North Jersey.
Well, it's actually more like the shore, like we call it Central Jersey, right? Mm. South Jersey is a whole other thing. Yeah, I grew up Jersey for the most part. Playing in bands. I used to play all around Asbury Park, the Stone Pony, and, you know, the Lanes, every sort of spot in around Asbury. And, you know, lived in this city a long time, but my roots were in Jersey, so I really was excited to, you know, build a brand there with Asbury Park Brewery. I had helped start a brewery in San Diego called St. Archer. With my company Crush, we had a little sports office down there in Carlsbad, and there was a guy who's managing surfers with us, a guy Josh Landon, and he said, "I got this idea, you know, we're gonna start a beer, and you know, I'm gonna get a bunch of, you know, Paul Rodriguez and a bunch of guys from the action sports world, you know, involved with it." And I was like, "Ah, man, I love it." You know, we had bars at the time, bars called Angels and Kings, and we had one in New York, Chicago, one in L.A. And I was like, "Yeah, let's do this, and I'll help you get it started," and which we did. And that ended up blowing up within 2 years and selling to Miller Coors.
Yeah.
That kind of started the whole bubble with craft beer, to be honest. Mm. It sort of led to Ballast Point Lagunitas selling for $1 billion. you know, just because we had never turned a profit, and we sold for a bunch of money. And it was nowhere near that, but just, you know, these guys, you know, we were around for 2 years. These guys have been around for 25 years. And they're like, "How'd you do that?" And so Josh went down and like kind of explained to those guys, like, "This is what we did." And that bubble is completely burst now. You know, craft beer is not about going macro anymore. It's about staying micro and about being, you know, true to where you're from, where you are. And, you know, people don't want to drink a beer from Colorado when they come to the Catskills, you know,
they want
to
drink beer.
They want a beer from, you know, Catskills / New York, you know,
locals.
Local. That's what it's about. And so that's, you know, so again, you know, I've been there with that whole, when the macro thing was happening, like, you know, Ballast Point sold for $1 billion, you know, went to Chicago and they had this massive Ballast Point thing there that's long closed. Yeah, I think Lagunitas, one of them sold back for like $100 million to someone. So whoever bought it lost $900 million. So that's the one I'm talking about, bubble burst.
Yeah, big time.
That's gone. So there's no real, like, we're not trying to build a brand to sell it. I want to build a brand because I love this area. I think a brewery is good for this area. you know, I wasn't here when Cave Mountain Brewery was here,
mm-hmm.
But I heard great things about it.
Yeah, and, it was,
you know.
I mean, was when we were drinking age was Cave Mountain Brewery.
Right.
So,
I mean, just breweries in general, I love breweries. I mean, I love beers, but I love breweries, you know. And, yep. And again, people who don't get it, they don't realize, like, oh, it's a bar. No, it's not a bar. You know, we make the beer. And it's a different vibe, you know. Yep. And so already we've been open, like, you know, what, 2.5 months or so. And I think, you know, the reaction's been phenomenal from the local people. And
I think I want to talk about that, because I want to talk about your experience opening a business in Windham, because there is a phenomenal culture up here of support from other businesses, from the townspeople, the people that are, you know, here all the time, not just your tourists. And so how has that experience, I mean, Owen's already a local, that took, you know, less than a year. You know, how was that experience to open a business?
It's been great. You know, we went through the whole, you know, the planning board in town and all that, and everyone was very open and welcoming, I think, excited about the project. And I think they're all excited, you know, that more business would be coming to downtown. And that's what I'm trying to, like, I'm telling my, you know, the other people around, say, hey, you know, throw up a store, throw up, you know. I know David Taphouse is doing some great stuff. He just opened the boutique down there.
Yep, Gem, right across the street.
Yeah, which is great. I was in there the other day, and my wife will be buying a lot of stuff there, I guarantee it. And, you know, obviously he's got local across the street, and just, you know, it's more of that. You know, I think Dave really gets it. I think other people in town get it. Some don't, though, you know. So it's just like, you know, what else could we do here? Because, like, not to be Hudson. Hudson's a city. But you see what Tannersville has. Like, you know, my wife will drive anywhere for some antique shops and some other things. And let's get some more of that. Let's get an antique shop in town. And I know there has been in the past, but I think the whole thing we got to add is stopping at a shop or two or three. Mm-hmm. You know, more of that. And then it's just like, then you know, rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah,
it's absolutely been great for all the restaurants. It's been great for everyone.
And I think that's a pretty common attitude in town.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of people feel that way. That if you're doing good, that means I'm doing good.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool thing about this
town.
Yeah,
it's a big thing for us. Again, complimentary business. Like, I'm not taking business from anyone. I'm going to add business to everyone, right? Because, you know, we're going to. Because once the brewery gets a name and all that, because brewery, it's a different culture. And it is a culture. People drive out from Hudson to check out a brewery. Like, you know, I know people, you know, drive to Westkill, which is phenomenal. Like, probably one of my favorite breweries in the world, Westkill.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, from here, drive, it's 45 minutes.
That's it from the end of Spruceton Road.
Yeah.
It's a 15-minute drive, you know?
But again, people drive because it's great. So it's like, absolutely. Hey, still go to Westkill. But, like, now it's, you get in, hey, you go to Westkill, and then you come by here. You know, a lot of people drill multiple in a day. You know, they'll drive up from wherever and, like, let's go see some brews in the Catskills. So, but now it gives them a reason to stop here and go check out the other businesses. We just need more of those businesses to be here.
Yeah. I know you're not a restaurant right now, but I will say a beer hall, like a German beer hall in Windham, would, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I hear you. We're
just putting it out there. I'm not saying you have to, but that's a back pocket idea. That's all I'm saying.
Just to throw this out is, like, what we're developing is we're going to have a big beer garden in the back. So we're going to have that vibe. It's going to be outdoors.
Yep.
Our porch is actually getting done now. It's picnic tables and stuff like that. So it's got a bit of that vibe. That's getting finished, and we're going to have, like, the plastic and all that. So that's going to be 12 months a year, the back porch. We're going to have maybe a swing set for the kids. It's, you know, it's going to be all that. Maybe a food truck pops up for a weekend here and there. So we're going to have a great vibe for that.
Absolutely.
Outside. And, you know, in the backyard, you know, you got the river right behind you. You look up at the mountain, you know. It's just – and you're right in the center of town.
Right in the middle, yeah.
And dog-friendly. Everyone brings their dogs.
Do you did you happen to be here during the World Cup?
No, you're talking about the downhill mountain biking?
Yeah.
I did not, no.
So, at World Cup, they closed Main Street down.
Right.
And just had foot traffic up and down Main Street.
That would be great.
And it was such an incredible experience in town.
Right, I'm sure.
And, I mean, Autumn Affair, they don't close Main Street, but the foot traffic.
Autumn Affair is phenomenal, yeah.
It's phenomenal. And I think you guys are just, like, another addition that will complement that extremely well. But to your idea of doing some music festivals, the town works with people, you know, they will work with ideas, they will work with business owners. It sticks out in everybody's memory when they had that the World Cup event on Main Street. So
I'm sure.
Another back pocket idea here. Let's get
More events in town is good for everyone. So,
for everybody. You
know, we'll get involved.
Yeah, and we got South Street. We can push everybody to South Street, close down Main Street.
There you go.
I'll help you build a stage. We'll build a stage right in the middle of Main Street.
I'm going to take a second on doing all that. You know. We'll see. We'll throw some small stuff behind in the beer garden this summer, you know, and just kind of slowly go from there. But, it was a bit with that festival. You know, because it was exciting and it could have been great, and it was a bit of a bummer.
Well, please, I would say for those of us who didn't know kind of what happened in the background and everything, like, don't give up on it, because there were a lot of people in town that were very excited when that
was talked about,
and and we would love to have that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even in personal conversations, we talk about, you know, what it would take to put on something like that here.
Yeah.
And obviously, you're the talent man. So
yeah, I could help. I don't do it on my own again.
Yeah,
we'll see how it we'll see. You know, we'll see.
So this is a call to action for whoever's listening. Let's get some brains together and make something happen.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
So, gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Love to have you in town. Awesome. And look forward to.
Listen, I love that you guys are doing this too, because this is another great thing for the town, right? Because it's a podcast and people listen and they talk about the town, and maybe they're not from here and they'll check it out. So that's great.
Yep. And hearing the story, I think that's what we saw, was there's a lot of people doing really cool stuff here, and maybe it goes uncelebrated or unnoticed, or they don't know who the visionary is behind it. And sometimes that can be what takes another person's idea and goes, yeah, well, I'll step in and help with the music festival. What do we got to do?
Cool.
You know, and so that's kind of our idea with it, is, you know, the more informed the community is, seeing other people, you know, accomplishing things is what inspires everybody.
Cool.
So, yeah, thanks to you guys as well.
Thank you.
Cheers. Guys, thanks for having us.
Cheers. Thanks for coming in.
All right.
This is the Hear Hear podcast from the Crispin's Wyndham House Studios, hosted by Jesse Novak, produced by Evan Gutcha. Thank you for listening.